This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
Captain's log, stardate 5832.3.
Anybody else remember that episode of Star Trek, the old Star Trek from my childhood, when the hippies came aboard the Enterprise and Spock joined them for a jam session?
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Long time back when the galaxy was new.
Well, 40 years later, there are jam sessions in space on the International Space Station, now orbiting Earth around 200 miles up. For our series on science and creativity, we ask Richard Paul to find out what it's like to rock out in space.
Before he left for what would be a record-setting 196-day space odyssey, Carl Waltz was approached by NASA's psychologists. On a mission this long, NASA has to think ahead about how the astronauts will stay fit, not only physically, but mentally.
I was asked if there was something that could be taken up from a psychological support perspective.
He asked for a piano.
I was an accompanist at the church that I went to. I also occasionally played keyboards with the Max Q band that I was in for many years. It's an all-astronaut band. And so it was the first thing that came to mind.
The psych support team got the job done, and when Endeavour blasted off that December in 2001, it held, along with everything else in its cargo bay, a Yamaha PSR-282 portable keyboard.
Taking musical instruments on a ship for an expedition is a tradition, if you will. And so I think it's what makes us human, is because we bring some of our home with us.
Astronauts have upheld that tradition from the earliest days of the space program. Wally Schirra snuck a tiny harmonica on board Gemini 6. That's him playing. This was the first musical instrument in space. You can see it at the National Air and Space Museum. Schirra used it to serenade the world 10 days before Christmas in 1965. 15 years later, they started the shuttle program. Then they constructed the International Space Station. And with that, crew quarters got larger, stays in space got longer, and more, astronauts, along with their scientific instruments, started bringing musical instruments into space. That's astronaut Ellen Ochoa, who's also a concert flautist. She's playing on board the Shuttle Discovery in 1993. Playing a musical instrument in space is not that different from playing one on Earth. But it turns out that bringing an instrument into space has the potential to cause some serious problems.
Formaldehyde, benzene, or toluene.
This is Mike Pedley. Until recently, it was his job to make sure that Ellen Ochoa's flute was safe to go into space. That list of chemicals he's stringing off, that's all the stuff that you might find sticking to a flute.
They appear as a result of the manufacturing processes.
They're things like polishes or lubricants that you rub into the keys to make them more flexible. On Earth, things like that are no problem, but
they're a concern in space because you have a closed environment.
So they've come up with a way to defend against this.
We put the hardware into a closed chamber, heat it at 120 degrees Fahrenheit for 3 days.
That speeds up the release of any gases. So that's how they deal with flutes. But Pedley says guitars present a completely different problem.
We'd also be checking for flammability because the cabin environments on our spacecraft all contain a higher oxygen concentration than air on the ground. Materials are a lot more flammable.
It's not that a guitar might burst into flames on its own. It's just that if there was a stray spark, it could.
So the guitar, while it's brought out by the crew when they want to play it, but when they're finished playing it, they're required to put it away in a locker or a fireproof bag so that it can't act as an uncontrolled fire hazard while the crew isn't around.
That's Ed Liu. He lived on board the International Space Station for 7 months in 2003.
Playing the piano, basically, you don't sit on a bench. You kind of float in front of it, floating next to the piano.
Liu says that's a pretty cool sensation, though not if you want to use the piano's pedal.
I was able to press the pedal, but what I was finding was that as I played the piano, you would be pushing on the keyboard. It would sort of push you away, and you would begin to drift away from the keyboard. And if you pressed the pedal, it would sort of torque your body to the left. So you would find yourself slowly getting out of position until you just couldn't play anymore.
So things like that, and like guitar picks flying up in the air, are a bother, but the space station is pressurized to 14.7 pounds per square inch, just like at sea level, so sound travels the same. And Ed Liu says, overall,
the way your body works, the way you swallow, the way your eyes work, all that other stuff is pretty much identical.
As for what they get out of the experience of playing in space, how it moves them, how it sustains their souls, ask Ed Liu and you get...
I like it. I just like playing the piano.
Though he will go so far as to say there is one particular spot on the space station where he preferred to play.
There's a window which is next to the keyboard on the space station, and you could look out the window and watch the Earth outside go by. It's pretty neat.
There you go. Pretty neat. An astronaut's highest compliment. And yet, when you watch the NASA video of Ed Liu playing Moonlight Sonata, it's hard not to be moved. He's jammed into a space that looks to be about as big as a submarine. The walls are steel, covered with handles and paper and computer screens, and you know that outside those walls, there's nothing. No light, no air, no water. And yet here are two of humanity's greatest achievements, the International Space Station and Beethoven. Floating together in the nothingness. Pretty neat, I'll say. For Studio 360, I'm Richard Paul.
Almost.
The Space Shuttle Discovery is on a mission right now at the International Space Station, and you can see video of Ed Liu, the astronaut, playing the Moonlight Sonata in space at studio360.org.